Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Before we get into the word this morning, I just wanted to have a word on my heart that I wanted to encourage us with. You know, Isaiah 54. Well, let me say the announcement first. We're in Pretoria this week. If you know anyone there, make sure they get there. You can find the information online from tomorrow. But Isaiah 54 verse 1 says, "Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing, and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, says the Lord." And the thing I just felt during worship on my heart was that there would be some people, you're here and you're feeling barren. And it's not just, it includes, I can't have a child, it includes that, but it's not limited to that. Barrenness can be like in the area of, you know, you've just tried a business and again and again and it just failed. Or there's just like, there's no fruitfulness in whatever you're doing right now. It's just like continual struggle. You know, there's just nothing. And that's what barrenness basically would be. You know, it's not just I can't have children, it's like I try things and they just fail. And I just wanted to, before we get into the word this morning, just encourage you, if that's you. Firstly, just to say, if that's you, then we want to pray for you this morning. But verse 2, verse 1 first of all says that you should sing. Because, you know, you're going to have more fruitfulness, basically. You're going to be fruitful. And so it's kind of, don't focus on your situation and where you're at right now and the barrenness. Focus on the promise that you've got of fruitfulness. So don't focus on the negative, focus on the positive. Verse 2 says, "Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen the cords, and strengthen the stakes." What this is really saying is prepare for the increase. If you're not preparing for the increase, you don't believe that the increase is coming. So if you're not preparing for fruitfulness, then you can declare it all you want, you don't really believe that it's coming. So prepare for it by focusing on it in your heart and seeing what you need to do to kind of facilitate it, not to make it happen. You can't make it happen. You just need to position yourself. And then it goes on and it says in verse 3, "For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left hand, and your seed shall inherit the Gentiles." So it's like what the fruitfulness which you're going to experience is going to be even more fruitful than what you're experiencing. And so I want to encourage you, if that's you, don't kind of focus on the barrenness or the negative. You know, if you've got a health problem, don't focus on that. Focus on the promise that you've got healing in Christ. You know, if it's everything you're touching is kind of disaster and there isn't fruitfulness in business or something like that, start getting into the Word and declare that everything your hand shall touch to shall prosper, because that's the promise that you have from the Word. Don't kind of be limited by what other people are limited by. Focus on what the Word says and take that if that's for you. So it's like, hey, I'm not going to be limited by barrenness because the economy is bad. I'm going to focus on the fact that, hey, God's providing for me according to His riches and glory, not according to the economy. And if you're experiencing barrenness, then don't focus on that. Focus on what God promises and declare that. Amen. It's worth coming, so you can go home now even if you want. Don't, there's more. So welcome to Lucas. Lucas, wave for us. Everyone can see you. I know. Lucas has just arrived from the UK, from our friend Benjamin Conway's church. And he's coming to do a 6-month internship with us, so make him feel welcome. Even if you don't understand what he says, hopefully he'll start pronouncing his words right. Hey, no, I'm just joking. Welcome, Lucas. It's awesome to have you with us. Lucas was also part of Albania for a while. Him and his sister, Micah, helped us during a rough leadership transition, and they were there administering there and leading the church. And so he's already kind of part of the family, even if you don't know him yet. But just make him feel welcome. Today, we're carrying on with our Growing in God series. And what it is really is just, It's a growth course, which we're going to be introducing in April, and we're just kind of touching on it in the services. And the course itself, when we start running it, is going to be much more content than what we can get into 45 minutes to an hour. But we've already looked at finding freedom, how you can find freedom in Christ. We've already looked at how we're part of a family, and we're part of one another within this family. And Today we're going to be focusing on basically discovering your purpose. Or we're going to be talking about spiritual gifts, how all of this kind of connects together. And so we're going to be talking about gifts today. But you know, the interesting thing as I was meditating on this is that every single one of you, every single one of us, if you're a Christian, you've got gifts. God's given you something. Okay? There isn't one person who cannot contribute to the kingdom. Because your gift isn't for you, it's for you to give. Okay? But you've got something which is valuable to add value to the bigger picture, to the kingdom. So that's already, you need to start seeing spiritual gifts like that. That you've got something to add value to the kingdom with. Okay? It's not just something, I mean, imagine if your gift was encouragement, and you sat at home by yourself, and you just tried to encourage yourself. Going to be a wonderful time. Now you need to encourage yourself in the Lord, the scripture says, but you know, it's much more encouraging for you if you come here and at tea and coffee or beforehand, you just go and encourage someone. Or if you have a word of encouragement for the church, you know, during worship or during communion, you come to the leaders and you're like, hey, I feel this word. And you say, hey, you know, this is a word of encouragement for us. And that's awesome. But you and yourself and in your own little room encouraging yourself is not what God intended by giving you a gift. He intended your gift to be for all of us. Okay, so, you know, we have a mission, and we're going to just look at that mission first. And we're called to this mission, okay? And this mission that we're called to is a supernatural mission. You think about it. Let's look at a couple of verses. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21. So 2 Corinthians 5 from verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Okay, so if you're in Christ, you're a new person, new creature. Okay? Did you know you're sitting next to a creature? So we all, in Christ, we're a new creature. The old is gone, the new has come. It's talking about a Christian. It says in verse 18, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Okay, so now he's saying, it's talking about a believer. It's not talking about a pastor. Hello? It's not talking about a pastor or someone in ministry full-time like me, maybe, but it's talking about someone who's a Christian. And it's saying, if you're a Christian, you're a new person, number one, and then you've got a ministry, and it's a ministry of reconciliation. Okay, so you have a ministry. It's a ministry of reconciliation, and it explains it a bit more. Verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not holding their trespasses against them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So he's given us a message. It's the message of reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation, which is, hey, God reached out to you through Jesus, and he's reconciled himself to you. Now you be reconciled to God. You accept him. It's much easier to be friends with someone if they already accept you, right? God already accepts you. So just accept him. Okay, verse 20. So you're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. You've got a ministry of reconciliation and the word of reconciliation. And then it goes on and says in verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. So you're representing God. You're representing Jesus. Okay, we focused on this a few weeks back as well. We are God's address. So the world is looking for Jesus. They shouldn't look further than us. In your workplace, you shouldn't have, you know, a Christian shouldn't be, a non-believer shouldn't be like, oh, I don't know how to find God. Just by their interaction with you, they must say, hey, there's something in you that makes me want to know what you've got. I'm looking for God. I know that you can help me. Something like that. Okay, so we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ stead, be reconciled to God, for he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Finishes off by saying, you are right with God, you are righteous. When you become a Christian, you're a new creation, and then you've got a ministry of reconciliation, you've got the word of reconciliation, you're part of a bigger purpose than just breathing air and making money. That's what it's saying. You're part of something much bigger than just trying to get an increase every year. You're part of God's family. You're his representative, his ambassador. And it finishes off there in verse 21 by saying, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Which means that God doesn't see you as ever wrong. You're in his good books all the time. Now we can go into this in depth and I can spend many hours on this, but the basics is that when you receive Christ, He made you right. He gave you His righteousness. He took your sin and He made you righteous. He made you right with Him. So you can't make yourself right with Him. The moment you accept that and realize it, it enables you to be effective in what He's called you to do. If you don't, you won't. So then moving on, Matthew 28 verse 18 to 20. Part of our mission. Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations," or disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And this is basically saying we've got a supernatural mission. I mean, you yourself make a small package, firstly, but secondly, to reach the whole world by yourself is impossible. And I mean, we think of maybe someone like Billy Graham, and you know, he's accomplished a lot in his life and in his ministry, but it wasn't alone. He's got many hundreds behind him who've worked and helped him prepare and organized outreaches. I'm pretty sure he didn't book too many stadiums himself. He probably had someone who did that for him. He probably started off maybe doing it. He probably started off booking his plane tickets even, but then eventually someone did it for him. And that's a vital, administration is a vital part of the mission. And it's a gift that not many people have. Anyway, we love administrators. I do. Because I struggle with that. I don't enjoy it so much. But Matthew 28 is basically showing that we've got a supernatural calling, a supernatural purpose. 2 Corinthians 5 shows you've got a supernatural identity. Now Jesus is speaking, He's saying you've got a supernatural purpose. You are supernatural, you've got a supernatural identity, you've got a supernatural purpose. I mean, Mark 16, verse 15, echoes the Great Commission, and it kind of makes it sound even more supernatural, and it says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." It's got to be, you've got to have supernatural power to do that, because preaching the gospel everywhere is a supernatural thing. It's not just a message. Okay, we'll get there. "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And these signs will follow them that believe. In my name they'll cast out devils, speak with new tongues, take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They'll lay hands on the sick and see them recover." So this is saying you've got a supernatural mission. Supernatural identity, supernatural mission. Your identity determines your mission. But you can't accomplish that without supernatural power. Okay, Acts 1:8. Part of our mission. "The Holy Spirit will come on you." This is the easy to read version. "The Holy Spirit will come on you and give you power. You will be my witnesses. You will tell people everywhere about me," Jesus speaking, "in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and every part of the world." So this is, Jesus is saying, hey, you've got a supernatural mission, but you're gonna need supernatural power to accomplish it. And that supernatural power is the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So this last verse shows us that we need the supernatural power or ability to be able to have a supernatural life. And it's not saying you're going to go everywhere in the whole world and preach the gospel, but you're part of it. Even if you only ever stay home, you can preach the gospel and expand the kingdom right where you are, in your office, in your home, in your street. It's not just for, hey, you need to go to Siberia or Russia or whatever the case is. Maybe. But maybe not. Okay? So the empowering of the Holy Spirit births spiritual gifts in your life. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it unleashes spiritual gifts in your life, and the purpose of those gifts is for the mission. You know, I've been in many different churches, and it's sad for me because some churches have this mentality of the gifts are for us. And it is to build us. It is for us to encourage one another. But it never gets out. And the gifts are for us to be built up and strengthened so we can go out and use the gifts there too. You know, if you only ever stay home and use the gifts at home, then what glory does that bring to God? You're doing good, but your neighbor's going to hell. So, you know, the Holy Spirit births supernatural gifts in our life and gives us these gifts so that we can be effective ambassadors. Because if you think about it, what is an ambassador? An ambassador is someone who represents someone else. You're an ambassador of Christ, you represent Jesus. Amen? That means when people look at you, they should think of Jesus. When you talk, when you act, when you pray for them, everything. We should be able to deliver what Jesus delivered. And the thing is, it's not difficult. It's easier than you might think it is. So everything revolves around the mission, really. Your work, your budget, your family, your planning, your schedule should all revolve around the mission that we're called to as believers, but especially your gifts and your talents and your abilities and your passions. All of that should also be part of our geared towards the vision, geared towards the mission, not just like a, you know, if you've got a gift of creativity, I know many of you do, don't just use it in your home. That's awesome. But use it to bless people as well. Not just so when they come to your home, they're blessed. Use it beyond that. You know, maybe you see something, you're like, hey, you know, if we did X, Y, and Z on a Sunday, it would make it much more homely. Well, come and tell us. We don't know. Use your gift to help build the kingdom. Maybe it's a case of, you know, you want to use that in, even with Philip and Rita in Force for Good and Solari's Pass, and you can kind of see how it can add value, and you can go there and add value. It's not just about you, it's about reaching people and about expanding. So spiritual gifts, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to look at a couple of verses here. So if you've got your Bible, or you can look on the screen, 1 Corinthians 12 verse 1. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. So if you look at Corinthians, especially chapter 12, it's focusing on unity in the body of Christ, unity in the church. Okay? So it's talking about unity in the church, especially chapter 12. It's talking about unity in the church. And when I was meditating on this a few weeks back, it blessed me because it's talking about unity in the church, but it brings in spiritual gifts. And I never saw spiritual gifts as a means to build unity in the church. But it is. It's so clear. It's obvious, actually. You know, when we kind of think of unity, we think we have to talk the same, look the same, dress the same. We kind of often think of those carnal things which aren't true. But spiritual gifts should unite us together. You know, if you feel like you've got a gift of, everyone should be encouraging. If you're a believer and you're not encouraging, please come up for prayer afterwards. But we should all be encouraging one another. But especially if you've got the gift of encouragement. Go up to somebody afterwards that you don't really know and encourage them. Just encourage them. Give them a scripture, pray for them, whatever. You know what's going to happen? It's going to build you closer. Builds unity. When you use your gifts, it helps to build the church. Okay? So, you know, this scripture here is basically also saying we shouldn't be ignorant of spiritual gifts. And yet, I mean, worldwide, there's a lot of Christians which are ignorant of this stuff. I'm fortunate in that I grew up in circles where there was a lot of spiritual gifts in operation and things like that. And you can go to an extreme with it too, where it's crazy. But the point is that you need to, we mustn't throw the baby out with the bathwater. We need to use the gifts because there's a purpose to them. Okay? Let's look at verse 7 then. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Okay, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So the word manifestation there reveals something quite beautiful. It reveals that the gifts of the Spirit are a natural byproduct of having the empowering of the Spirit. So, because often what we would think is like a spiritual gift, and we'll talk about what are the spiritual gifts in a moment, but often we look at spiritual gifts as something I've got to work for. I've got to kind of build up. I've got to, you know, you've got to kind of wind it up. And yes, there's a case of stirring it up, but you don't have to wind it up. Like, you don't have to work for it to happen. God's not going to say, hey, you know, Rita, you've just been amazing. You're such a spiritual person. I'm going to give you some spiritual gifts to use. You know, and then, hey, you've been living holy there. You know, Ben, you've been really doing good this week, you know, living holy. So, you know, I'm going to give you the gift of prophecy. It doesn't work like that. You know, the gifts aren't given according to your performance. It's given according to grace. And the word gift in the Greek actually means grace. A gift is a grace. So it's something that you don't deserve. Do you deserve to operate in the gifts? Never. Can you? Yes. Baptized in the Holy Spirit, born again, go for it. You can go and do it, you know. Let me not get off track. When we allow the flow of the power in our lives, the gifts are a natural byproduct. It's like evidence of the Spirit in you. Okay, you don't have to force the gifts, manufacture the gifts, you simply allow the gifts to flow. And so don't look at it as something that you've got to work at, you've got to force. Look at it as something you just need to, like that song, abide in the vine. If you're abiding in the vine, John chapter 15, you're allowing the life of the vine to flow through you, what should naturally happen? Fruitfulness. And we're not just talking about love, joy, peace. We're talking about power as well. Power flows because you're connected to the vine. It doesn't happen because you lived holy. I remember listening to a sermon series in a church I was at once, and it was how you've got to purity, you've got to be pure first, and then you get your purpose from God, and then purity, purpose, and then you have the power. Then you experience the power. There was another P there somewhere, but it was basically like that was the flow. That's all wrong. You get born again, you got a new identity. You're holy. You might not live like it 100%, but you're holy already. And you've got gifts because God loves you and His gifts are His grace in your life. Then all you need to do is realize it and step out and do it. Don't wait until you're perfect or you're going to die with those gifts inside of you. Where's the place with the greatest potential in the world? The graveyard. So many people die with gifts inside of them and they never use them. Don't be like that. You can't use your gifts in heaven. It's not going to be good. There's no need for them there. The need for your gift is here. So use your gift while you're breathing. Don't wait to be perfect. Step out and go for it. And let me just say as well, we're going to look at a couple of gifts of the Spirit in this passage, but Paul's not saying these are the only gifts. There's other passages of Scripture where he brings in different gifts. And I believe like one of the gifts which isn't mentioned in the Bible is even entrepreneurship. So there's much more, you know, many gifts of the Spirit. I mean, some entrepreneurs, it has to be supernatural. You know, it's a gift from God. Anyway. So God never intended for the gospel to be preached without the flowing of supernatural to confirm His word. That's what this is saying. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So the manifestation of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, should be confirming the word, so that people aren't just looking and, I don't know about this word. It's just words. No, but you bring up someone and heal them or encourage them, and it was like spot on in that season. Hey, it rings true. You're confirming the word. Look at Mark 16 verse 20. Mark 16 verse 20. Says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. So, you know, this is awesome. It's showing you that God works with you when you go out. God works or produces the supernatural. What's your job? Release it. You don't work it, you release it. It's there. The more you just acknowledge it and you release it, the more it starts to flow and increase. Okay? Hebrews chapter 2 verse 4. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 4. I'm going to read the easy to read version here, but you can follow in the King James. It says, God also proved it by using miraculous signs, wonders, and all kinds of miracles. And He proved it by giving people various gifts through the Holy Spirit, in just the way He wanted to. So what is it saying? God proves His word. We should be able to as well as Christians. As ministers, yes, as pastors, but also as Christians. Every Christian, you should be able to back up what you say about God with actually results. I mean, how many people, you know, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and they just look like they've been baptized. I can't look like that. I can't. I try when I start talking about this, but they look like they're baptized in lemon juice. They look like they're sour. They look like, you know, just the whole world's against them and God's, you know, pushing the wrong buttons. They look like that. And then they go and try and witness to someone. And what are they saying? They're saying, hey, Jesus apparently works, but not for me. Because, you know, they're not truly happy. Let it work. Use the product first. Enjoy the product first. Let it work for you, and then you will be a good salesperson. Amen? So spiritual gifts are given to every born-again believer, every spirit-filled believer. Why? For the benefit of the whole body, not for your benefit. For the whole body. You'll get encouraged as you use your gift, but it's not for you. It's for us. Okay, your gift is to give to others. You'll only enjoy your gift and find true satisfaction when you're giving your gift, when you're using your gift, whatever that gift is. Okay? Your gifts grow as you give them. You don't use them to benefit the church, to bless others. I believe it becomes inactive. It just becomes, God doesn't take it away. He doesn't take away the gifts, but it just becomes inactive. Okay? And then you start to see less and less, you know, fruitfulness there. This says the manifestations of the Spirit, which means the gifts of the Spirit. The Spirit is the root, and the gifts are basically like the fruit. It's the result of having that in you. So if you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, all you need to do is stir it up. You don't need to ask God for a gift. He's already given you a gift. Okay? You don't need to say, God, I really need the gift of faith. Please, can you give me the gift of faith? I'm trusting for the gift of prophecy. I want to be, you know, prophetic or whatever. The gifts that He's given you are already in you. That's done. You need to now just discover what they are and then use them. And you might not get to choose what gift you want, but you've got the gifts in you. Just seek God and He'll stir them up. He'll get you flowing in them. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6. I'm going to look there. You know, if you've got the gifts of the, if you've got the Holy Spirit and you've got the gifts, all you need to do is stir it up. You don't need to manufacture something. Okay, so just stir up what Jesus has put inside of you. So 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6 to 8. Easy to read version again. It says, that is why I want you to remember the gift of God, the gift God gave you. God gave you that gift when I laid my hands on you. So what does this sound like? It sounds like baptism in the Holy Spirit, if you read through Acts. Now I want you to use that gift and let it grow more and more. So when you use your gift, what happens? It grows more and more. I know for sure. Not just because I know a lot of you, but I know just in my heart and in my spirit that there's many people here, you're not using your gift. That's why it's not growing or developing. Because you're not using what God's given you. And, you know, if you're not faithful in the least, that's why He's not entrusting you with more. Because you're not doing what you should do, you know, you're not on step one. Okay, so when you use your gift, it grows more and more, like a small flame grows into a fire. So we've all got the Spirit, we've all got the gifts inside of us, but it might just be like a little candle. Your job is to stir it up so that it becomes big. Okay? The Spirit God gave us does not make us afraid. His Spirit is a source of power and love and self-control. Verse 8, so don't be ashamed to tell people about the Lord Jesus. It's basically saying you've got the gift of the Spirit in you and the gifts of the Spirit. So now, stir it up. And that Spirit in you, when you stir it up, it doesn't make you scared. It gives you, it's a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Why? What's verse 8, which we always don't quote when we quote the Scripture? What does the King James say there? Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And the easy to read says, don't be ashamed to tell people about the Lord Jesus. Don't be afraid to share the gospel. That's the purpose of the Spirit. Acts 1:8. You will receive power and the Holy Spirit will come on you and you'll be witnesses. Not you'll be able to experience goosebumps and, you know, swing from the chandeliers and whatever else you think the Holy Spirit does. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you to be a witness. And this is, stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. Why? Because it's going to give you a boldness and a confidence to be able to do what you're called to do. First Corinthians chapter 12, let's go back there to verse 8. We're going to look at a couple of the gifts there. Oh, I don't think I've ever taught on this like this. I usually would teach on how to flow in the gifts of the Spirit, and I enjoy that maybe a bit more. But you know, this is really important to understand the foundations of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 to 11. I'm reading from the New King James now. It says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the same Spirit, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Now there's a lot of stuff, there's a lot in there that we can take out. And I'm not going to focus in on every single gift of the Spirit and start teaching on that. That's maybe for another time. But I just want to kind of show you the importance of them and the place of them and how we need to flow in them and if we're wanting to build the church. And how you can't just expect for the leadership to be doing it. It's for all of us. If you're part of the body, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is talking about the body of Christ, not the leadership of the church. Amen? For all of us. So if you're part of Grace Life, then you're not off the hook. So, you know, these are not all the gifts. Like I said earlier, there are other gifts. But we're not focusing individually on these are the courses. And I mean, these are all the gifts. And part of the growth course, which we're going to be doing, growth track, is the Discover course, which some of you have already done. And this is what we usually give out in that course. It's just a small booklet where it helps you identify your passions, and then discover your gifts, and see just, you know, what can you use your passions, your gifts, your abilities. You know, it's not just about spiritual gifts in a sense of thus saith the Lord. It's gifts, passions, abilities. You're wired in a specific way for something specific. This helps you to discover that. Okay, that's why it's called Discover. And so when you go through it, we've got a couple at the back at the resource table. You can take it, you can go through it, and it can bless you, or you can join us when we have this course in the near future, and you'll enjoy that much more because we show some videos and we discuss things and there's some extra things there. But then there's also a form in there which you can fill in, and you can put your, this is what what you've discovered about yourself, and then we can help you find a place, not just in the ministry for a Sunday, but in God's kingdom as to what should you be doing. Where can you get involved? And, you know, another gift which is very appreciated is giving. Some people are gifted in giving. That's their thing. I know a couple people like that. And, you know, they've got businesses or they're entrepreneurs or they do what they do. And their whole thing is, it's to be a blessing in the kingdom. It's for me to be able to help advance the kingdom. That's a gift. I would love to know how many of you want that gift. You know what it means if you get that gift? You get lots of money. Anyway, so let's carry on here. You know, I want you to see that you have the spiritual gift. Okay, it's not something that you're trying to get. All you need to do is discover them. Okay? You have a gift, and when you're not using your gift, you might come Sunday in and Sunday out, you might be here every Sunday. If you're not using your gifts that God has given you, firstly, you're not going to be enjoying church so much. Secondly, you're going to start looking for another church because you're going to grow discontent. And then thirdly, you're stealing from us. You're a thief. We love you, but you're a thief. You're stealing from us because we're part of one another and your gift is for me. It's not for you. And so when you don't encourage me, you're stealing from me. It's true. I had someone reply to the devotionals this week, and they just messaged me, and they said, you know what, I've only been receiving this for a week, but I just wanted to tell you it's really blessing me. And I was like, thank you. He didn't send that. He just felt that in his heart. It wouldn't have blessed me. You've got to use your gift. You've got to speak it out, the encouragement. You know, how often do we think of someone? Wow, you know, May is just so amazing. She does so much. She runs the hospitality for us, and she's just awesome. But we think it, we don't say it to her. You know? Or that person really blesses me, and you're just like, never tell them. Use your gift. Encourage one another. Tell people. It's to profit the church. That's what that verse says. Profit the church. We're going to go back to that verse in a moment. Now, if we all have different gifts, which is the case, okay, you know, Coonrod isn't a powerhouse, and he has all the gifts, and he flows in all of them all the time. Sorry to disappoint us. But the point is he's got a gift, Henry's got a gift, Ben's got a gift, Haley's got a gift, we've all got gifts. It's like a puzzle. And together, we make a beautiful picture. You know, if you're feeling God's put you here, this is where you need to be using your gift to help build the puzzle. But, you know, sadly, I think many local churches are missing a lot of pieces of their puzzle. Not because people don't come to church or people aren't coming to the church or whatever, but because people are coming to the church and sitting on their gifts. As if they're eggs that they're needing to, what's the word? Hatch, incubate. Kind of let me sit on my eggs, my spiritual gifts, and nothing happens with them. So, you know, you need to participate in God's kingdom and by using what God's given you for the kingdom. Now, how many of you believe you're complete in Christ? Scripture says that. You are complete in Christ. That's awesome. But if you're not participating in a local church, I'd say you're incomplete as well. Because that's God's heart for you. You'll feel incomplete. Because, you know, you're not, like we said last week, you are not the church, we are the church. You're an ambassador of Christ, we're ambassadors of Christ, but you're not the church, we're the church. And so we need to have this we mentality of coming together, using what we've got so that we can be more effective together. You can go, what's it? You can go faster, far, what do you always say? It's a, you want to go far? You want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. That's good. You quote it right. You'll never start operating in the gifts of the Spirit and in the power of God unless you get rid of your self-centeredness. You know, a lot of the times why we're not flowing in the gifts and why the church isn't being strengthened and built up is because we've got this consumer mentality. And if you've got a consumer mentality, we love you. Please keep coming back. But we need to grow and mature out of a consumerism mentality where what do I get out of church? You know, I don't want to go to that church or this church because I'm not getting what I need. Yes, there's a place for that. We spoke about it last week. If you're not growing and you don't have the opportunity to grow, find somewhere else. But if you are being fed well and there is opportunities for you to grow, you need to do something. If you're choosing a church according to amenities, you know, like they don't really have a proper church building. They've got, you know, this thing that they're trying to make look good. Or, you know, dare I say kids' church or one of those other amenities. You know, it's kind of like, oh, they don't have a youth group. Or choose a church according to the Word. According to something which is going to enrich you and help you mature so that you can go and start the ministry that they don't have. You know, we don't have a worship team at the moment, but I'm pretty sure amongst this group, we have a worship team. And, you know, you need to discover that, and then we'll channel you in the right direction. And then I'm enjoying worship. When I worship, I feel the presence of God. I enjoy it very much. But if you're not using your gift, you're not going to enjoy it so much. Okay? A healthy church is not the result of great programs and services for people. And it's certainly not the result of a healthy leadership. That helps. But it's not the result of it. You find a healthy church where the majority of people are participating in community, are using their gifts to enrich each other. Okay, that's what healthy church is the result of, I believe. So healthy leadership is really just, if you think about it, the church using their gifts. Because leadership is a gift. Can you see that? When you use your gift, the church is healthy. When I'm using my gift of leadership, the church is healthy. You might have a gift of leadership and we don't know. It doesn't mean you're going to be a leader tomorrow. There's a process. But the point is, there's a process to using any gift. But you need to start somewhere and start using it. Go forward. But let me look at that verse and read it again. It says, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit." How many of us need wisdom? Sometimes the wisdom that you need isn't in you. I've seen this. You know, business people struggling with a thing and then they go to someone else in the church and they're like, you know what, I have this situation. And they get the wisdom that they need. Why? Because we're a body and we work together. But we often are trying to do it ourselves. And so we miss out on the word of wisdom which is waiting for us in someone else. You may have come today saying, I need a word from God. It might not come through me. It might come through someone you don't know here, and if you don't have coffee with them afterwards, or tea, or water, you're not going to enjoy it. You're not going to receive that word that you came for. So, another, by the same Spirit. So this is the same Spirit in us, but it brings a diversity of gifts. Okay, it says the word of knowledge. I mean, we see that maybe here a lot where someone will be like, hey, you know, and I've done it too. There's someone here who's struggling with this or someone who's got this situation. And every week we have testimonies when that happens. And you don't hear the testimonies, but after the services, people come up and go, this is exactly my situation and it helped me. And so, you know, things like this happen. And if you've got that gift, then you need to use it. You don't need to use it from the pulpit. You can use it even over coffee. Often what happens is someone will come up to me during the service, like during worship or communion, and I've got a word, and they tell me the word. And sometimes I feel like we're not going to share this, or I forget. I do forget things sometimes. And then after the service, they come up to me and they're like, you know, you forgot about my word, or you know, I tell them, you know, it wasn't for the service, sorry. But what I always encourage them is pray, ask God, and go and find the person. And then go and just encourage them with your word. Don't kind of feel like you can only do it if you've got the microphone. If we all had the microphone, we would have a very long service. Amen? You wouldn't like that. You might like it because you would want the microphone the whole service. But the rest of us would struggle. And then when you close your eyes to pray, you'll wake up and no one will be here. So then it goes and it carries on and it says, another the faith by the same Spirit, the gifts of healing. Saying there isn't one way to minister healing. There's many ways to minister healing. Okay? And then it goes on and it mentions a whole bunch of gifts. But these are just some of the gifts which are sitting inside of us. Administration is mentioned as a gift in the Bible. Let me read a couple of these. I wanted to read this. Here are a couple of the gifts, and if you get this, then you'll be able to read a description about them. But administration is a gift. You know, we need administrators. Then it mentions apostleship, craftsmanship. I remember, this is a good testimony, when the first time we did this as a team, on a Tuesday morning, I looked at everybody's results, and Jonah's results showed craftsmanship. And I was like, I didn't know that. And from then on, he's created a lot of great things for us. The signs, and I don't even know what else, the lights. And it's like, you know, he's able to use his gift now because we know his gift, he knows his gift, and we've got place for it. Discernment, or the discerning of spirits, let me rather say. Evangelism, exhortation, encouragement, faith, giving. Amen, hallelujah. Healing, helps, hospitality, intercession, knowledge, leadership, mercy, miracles, missionary, music, worship, shepherd, pastor, prophecy, service, teaching, tongues, wisdom. There's a lot of different gifts. And you can see that means that there's not just three people in a church. You know, you got to have. It's fine to be a small church. We started off with seven. And then you kind of do a lot, but then as you grow, the body is strengthened and encouraged because you've got different people using their gifts. And I think that just shows a beautiful picture of what God intends. You know, I was standing at the back there talking to Peter, who's with the kids' church right now, and we were standing at the back, and I was busy just doing some final things with my notes and whatever, and I stopped there and I said, look, and I can't remember everyone involved, so I'm not mentioning any name, but you had, I know Henry was putting prayer stick on the back here to stick up the poster, there was people putting up these black things, and everybody was, there was lights, and everybody was kind of, we were watching it, they were focused on their part. They weren't focused on someone else's part and trying to do their part. They were focused on their part. And so it's kind of like, don't focus on what you think someone else should be doing. Let leadership do that. You focus on what am I gifted in and how can I add value, and then you do that. And that'll help build the body of Christ. It'll help build the church. It'll help strengthen us to become all that God wants us to become. Amen. So I want to challenge you to make a decision. If you're a guest, then I trust that this just blessed you, but this isn't for you, the challenge part of it. You know, if you're a part of the family, then I want to challenge you not to be a chair warmer. We don't have pews. But don't be a chair warmer. Don't just come and enjoy the service and leave. Start to become a participant where you're adding value, and it will add value to your life as well. Okay? You know, start discovering the gifts that you've got and start using them. You know, we're not a one-man show here. We want everybody to partake in it. And everyone, when you find your part, you'll be most satisfied and we'll all be blessed. But it starts really with receiving Christ, obviously. You don't have gifts if you don't receive Christ. So you've got to receive Christ, you've got to make that decision to become a Christian, and then you've got to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which amplifies and ignites those gifts and causes it to overflow. And then you need to stir it up. You can't just let it all settle down to the bottom and lie there dormant for years. Some of you have left it for decades, I'm sure. You've got to stir it up and use those gifts for them to be able to grow. You know, if you're serious about being part of God's kingdom and making a difference with your life, then you've got to know God. You've got to have a relationship with Him. You've got to be empowered by His Spirit. And you've got to step out the boat and do something. Use what He's given inside of you. You might be passionate about, I don't know what. That's the point. I don't know what. You tell me and then I know. And then we can use that gift. You know, you might have come from another city and you've been a worship leader for 10 years and we don't know. You know, you need to be a partaker. Take part in for the church to advance and for us to grow. If your passion is kids ministry, we need people in kids ministry. There's lots of needs here, but it's not just limited to a Sunday service. There's much more than just a Sunday service. Amen? So Father, I want to just thank You that You've gifted each one of us. You've given us grace to be able to do something. And I thank You, Father, that You're not judging us if we don't do anything. I just want you to know for sure that God's not judging you according to your use, the use of your gift. Yeah, you will be giving an account for your gifts and stuff, but hey, He's not loving you more or loving you less or blessing you more or blessing you less. If you use your gifts, you'll experience such blessing. But God's not going to punish you if you don't use your gifts. He loves you, He accepts you, and there's grace. He's not treating you as you deserve, He's treating you better than you deserve. And you have the awesome privilege and opportunity to partake by using the gifts, talents, and abilities that He's put inside of you. But there's no pressure. There's never pressure in the kingdom of God. He's not pushing you into the deep end. Might feel like that sometimes, but He's not. He loves you. He's a loving Father who will walk with you every step of the way. And if you're just saying, I'm not ready for this. I just want to sit and receive. Awesome. That's awesome. Just sit and receive. We need people to sit and receive. Just sit and receive, and it'll get to the place where you're ready for an overflow. You're ready to have an overflow of just gifts and being involved and excitement and whatever. You're never in a rush. God's never in a rush. Just relax. But God's got an awesome purpose for your life. He's got great things that He wants to accomplish in you and through you.
Love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.